Welcome to the Crush Anxiety Podcast. If you're an anxious high achiever who's looking to reduce stress, manage your mind, and achieve more with your time, you're in the right place, my friend. I'm Dr. Allie Wood, a psychiatrist and life coach, and I've spent years trying to science the shit out of my own anxiety and that of others. And I'm here to share with you the top strategies that I've learned along the way that will help you break free and become unstoppable. So let's crush it. So I was in clinic the other day and talking with someone who had some pretty debilitating anxiety and excessive worry. We were going over various treatment options, and I threw out the idea of trying therapy. And do you know what they told me? They said, "I've tried it before and it doesn't work for me." Do you know how many times I get this response throughout the week? Like, seriously, it's excessive. It's either the "been there, done that" response, or sometimes I even get the complete opposite. It's the "I've been in therapy for the past 10 years, doc, and it hasn't been helping me." That one, my friend, is the most depressing for both the patient and for the provider. It just all around sucks, because where do you go from there? The patient is rightfully defeated, and as a provider, you're putting in all this energy to help someone change and enhance their life, but the progress is at best minimal, and it's frankly uninspiring. So today, I decided to tackle these issues head on. I'm going to share with you one of the top reasons why your anxiety persists and doesn't go away. You might be someone who's on medications. You might be someone who's doing therapy. Or you might even be someone who's diving headfirst into the self-help world. Regardless of your current path, this information is something that you need to know about if you're trying to move on from your anxiety. Because if you don't tackle these issues at some point, you're going to encounter hurdles, you're going to feel stuck, and you're going to have setbacks. All right, my friend, let's jump into it. One of the main reasons that most people's anxiety doesn't go away is because of resistance. Now, let me explain to you what this is. Sigmund Freud developed this concept after working with patients who suddenly developed uncooperative behaviors during talk therapy. He described it as a defense mechanism and observed that patients would inadvertently and unconsciously attempt to protect themselves from topics that were too triggering or too anxiety-provoking. Patients would avoid subjects and topics that struck too close to home, and this could include uncomfortable memories, emotions, conflicts, or desires. However, by doing this, they were also unintentionally blocking the therapeutic process. But I want to be clear here. Their resistance wasn't due to a lack of willingness to engage in therapy. Instead, it was occurring at the subconscious level, and it showed Freud the complexity and depth of their hidden internal conflicts and unconscious struggles. Now, the concept of resistance has evolved since Freud's time, and modern psychology has further developed the idea. According to the American Psychological Association Dictionary of Psychology, treatment resistance is defined as a reluctance on the part of an individual to accept psychological or medical treatment or to comply with the therapist or physician's prescribed regimens. You guys, I've seen this manifest in so many different ways. So patients might engage in prolonged silences during therapy sessions. They might change the topic of conversation or even talk about things that are completely irrelevant to what the therapist is trying to work on. I've even seen people engage in pointless debates over the suggested therapeutic approaches. And then some other things that I've seen people do is refuse to complete therapy homework assignments, or some people will skip their therapy sessions altogether. So do you see what I'm saying? Patients come to us with X, Y, or Z concerns, but when you throw out an idea or a tool on how to help them, they aren't interested in trying anything you suggest. And this concept of resistance extends beyond therapy and affects many areas of everyday life. Stephen Pressfield, the author of The War of Art, describes resistance as a negative force that opposes any dream or goal we have. He uses an interesting analogy that I really like. He says, if a dream is a tree, resistance is the shadow. And as soon as the tree appears, the shadow appears. It's that negative force that tries to prevent us from thriving and achieving our aspirations. He even goes on to say that overcoming resistance is far more important than talent or any other factor when striving for greatness. So at its core, resistance involves an unwillingness to face negative life experiences. But here's the thing. We know that by avoiding these challenges, resistance will hold us back from growth and fulfillment. Now that you have an idea of what resistance is, I want to talk about it in the context of anxiety. The best description that I've come across so far is by psychiatrist Dr. David Burns in his book, Feeling Great. He wrote about how he was grappling with this whole idea of resistance until he had a dream that revealed to him two different types of resistance that often leaves people feeling stuck. Now, let me break these down for you. There's outcome resistance and there's process resistance. So let's start with outcome resistance first. So outcome resistance is when you have mixed or even negative feelings about recovery. So people experiencing this type of resistance might be unsure if they truly want to recover or achieve a good outcome. And as a result, they cling to their struggles and their anxiety. Now, why would we want to do this, right? It's a little confusing. Well, Dr. David Burns talks about how there's a central theme causing outcome resistance and anxiety. And this applies to every type of anxiety disorder out there. And this theme is magical thinking. So magical thinking is the belief that although anxiety is painful, it somehow protects you or your loved ones from something even worse. And it's this subconscious belief that obviously creates a barrier to recovery, right? Because individuals see their anxiety as being protective. To help this make more sense, I want to run through an activity with you. What I want you to do is brainstorm with me how magical thinking might show up in various types of anxiety disorders and how having each of these anxieties might protect someone from a perceived danger. So our list includes things like performance anxiety, phobias, OCD, hypochondriasis, generalized anxiety, and PTSD. If you want, pause and take your time with this. I really want you to think about how each type of anxiety could potentially protect someone from danger. All right, so let me run through these with you. With performance anxiety, individuals often believe that their anxiety is what motivates them and helps them to do well. It can feel as though their anxiety acts as a protective barrier against failure. People will tell themselves that them having anxiety just means that they care. And without it, they might become complacent. They might let their guard down, and they might risk looking foolish in front of others. It's what's preventing them from experiencing rejection or embarrassment. Now let's move on to phobias. With these, what we see is that people experience exaggerated fears of certain objects or situations. So some common phobias might include fears of heights, snakes, tornadoes, blood, those sorts of things, right? And so magical thinking plays a role in phobias because people believe that having the phobia is what protects them from being around things that they perceive as dangerous or harmful. So by avoiding that fear, they stay safe. Now let's look at OCD. With this, what we see is that people often believe that their compulsive rituals are essential for preventing harm to themselves or their loved ones. They think that if they stop performing these rituals, something terrible or catastrophic will happen. So for example, if someone has a checking ritual where they repetitively see whether the locks on their doors and windows are secure throughout the day, they might believe that this anxiety-driven behavior is what keeps their home safe from intruders, and it's what's protecting their family. All right, next up is hypochondriasis. And this is when people worry excessively about having undiagnosed medical conditions. So magical thinking occurs in this situation because people believe that their anxiety about their health serves as a form of protection against overlooking serious illnesses or injuries. They might think that if they don't seek medical attention for every little ache, pain, or random symptom that pops up, they can miss a critical diagnosis such as cancer or a brain tumor. And as you can imagine, this belief leads them to seek constant reassurance from doctors and undergo frequent medical tests, even when there may be no substantial reason for concern. The fear that not acting on every symptom might result in a catastrophic consequence reinforces the cycle of anxiety in medical visits, which makes it that much more challenging to overcome. Now let's talk about generalized anxiety. Those with this disorder often believe that their constant worrying about potential negative outcomes is what prevents those outcomes from happening. They feel that their worrying serves as a way to stay prepared for the unknown and as a way to anticipate problems before they arise. And then lastly, with PTSD, individuals often develop intense anxiety and hypervigilance as a result of past traumatic experiences. So over time, they might mistakenly believe that these heightened levels of anxiety and constant alertness are necessary to prevent future traumatic events from occurring again. All right, my friend, I hope that going through these different types of anxieties and understanding how magical thinking can manifest in each of them was an eye-opener for you. If you were able to figure out some of these on your own, awesome. If not, that's perfectly fine too. I just hope that this discussion has helped you gain a better understanding of the potential reasons why some of us cling to our anxieties. If you can recognize how magical thinking influences your relationship with anxiety and how you might perceive it as being protective and keeping you from danger, you've taken a crucial step in the path to crushing your anxiety. Now that you've a better understanding of outcome resistance and what that entails, let's jump over to process resistance. And in my opinion, this one's a lot easier to understand. So process resistance revolves around the idea that although you might want to get better, there's something that you'll have to do, but don't want to do, to recover. And I think we all know what this feels like. Think about your top goals in life right now. Are there certain actions or steps that you know you need to be taking, but are reluctant to do so because of the discomfort that's associated with it? What's that one thing where if you conquered it, you'd be living your best life? So in order to overcome your anxiety and your process resistance, you need to be willing to confront the very thing that you fear the most. And this means being willing to expose yourself to the very things that make you anxious and proving to yourself that these fears don't have any power over you. And I get it, easier said than done, right? I can think of things that I'm actively avoiding right now because of how daunting and uncomfortable it is. But know this, the most effective way to treat your anxiety is by going through it instead of around it. We want to face it directly rather than trying to avoid it, because while avoidance provides short-term relief, it always leads to a negative long-term consequence. Dr. Burns says in his book that if you make the courageous decision to face your fears, then the probability of success is tremendously high. But if you refuse to face your fears, the odds of recovery are close to zero. So ask yourself, would I be willing to go through temporary emotional pain if I knew that success and fulfillment were waiting for me on the other side? And make sure you're being honest with yourself here. Now, something that I want to be very clear about and hit on again is that when we're in treatment, most of us don't realize that we are resisting, right? Because why in the hell would we be purposefully doing this if we truly wanted our anxiety to go away? What I want you to remember is that outcome and process resistance are often subconscious, meaning that they aren't something that we're doing purposefully. We're not going around trying to self-sabotage our progress or trying to piss off our therapists. Our brains are naturally hardwired to seek pleasure and to avoid pain, which means we naturally stay away from things that cause discomfort or distress, and we gravitate towards things that cause comfort and security. And this is a survival mechanism that has been ingrained in us. It's automatic and it's habitual. Not to mention, remember Newton's third law. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This applies in psychology too. If something is uncomfortable, like a challenging emotion, and it's trying to push up on you, you're likely going to try to push back against it. But here's the problem. You only get more of what you resist. Carl Jung has been noted for famously saying, "What you resist not only persists, but will grow in size." And this just emphasizes how resistance can actually exacerbate the very issues we're trying to avoid. Now, when it comes to addressing resistance, Dr. Marsha Linehan, who is the creator of dialectical behavior therapy, reminds us of the difficulty and the pain involved in facing our uncomfortable thoughts or emotions. She explains that although it might be tough, the only way out is to go through the painful thing. So my friend, I know that this work can be tough. I know it can be challenging. There are things that we might have to do that make us feel royally uncomfortable. However, I want to help make this process easier and more tolerable for you. The first step in tackling this work is gaining awareness of your habits, your routines, your rituals. Because remember, you can't fix what you can't see. And this is especially true with something as complex as resistance. So step number one is awareness. And awareness is always my initial focus when working with patients because it lays the foundation for meaningful change. By becoming aware of your patterns of resistance and how they manifest in your life, you can begin to address them more effectively. I created a PDF guide teaching you my favorite tool for building awareness. And if you want to check it out, just click the link in the description and download it. Now, before we wrap up, something that I want you to know is that outcome and process resistance can present differently depending on the specific struggle you're experiencing. Okay? While we focused on anxiety today, there are also common patterns seen with depression, relationship struggles, and habits and addictions. Each one of these has its own unique characteristics that set it apart So the outcome and process resistance struggles aren't the same as those with anxiety. Okay, so it's not magical thinking or you having to do something that you fear that gets in the way of recovery. It's totally different. So if you want to learn more about how resistance shows up in any of these other areas, just drop a comment below and let me know, okay? Until then, keep kicking ass and crushing it. Just a quick reminder, this podcast is presented solely for educational and entertainment purposes only. Although I am a doctor, I am not your doctor, and listening to these episodes does not establish a doctor-patient relationship. This podcast is not a substitute for the advice of a doctor or other mental health professionals. It's also important to remember that the views expressed are my own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any institutions or organizations I may be affiliated with. Got it?